Hey, everybody. I'm back. Sorry, I've lost my voice for the past few days. Well, it was bad for you. It was great for my wife. But I'm back. Voice is back. You've got some live videos. And you see a lot of content coming out. We're producing a lot of cool stuff. And hopefully, we can give everybody the information and tools they need to go out there and win against all these people in society, for lack of a better term. Let's talk about a few things today. I got one is that we're talking about, I got a lot of few messages. And I know people are in another Facebook group. I'm not going to name it, give them credit because they threw me out. So I think everybody knows what group that is. But what's it, you know, I've had a few people write into me and like, dude, this isn't true, right? You've been to the class, you know the answer to this, and it isn't true. If you really just take a step out of the box for a second and think about how ridiculous that probably sounds. Passengers are free to leave at their discretion and will whenever they want from a lawfully stopped motor vehicle. It's absolutely ludicrous. It's insane. And I have no idea why anybody... Nope. Is it working now? Back on. All right.
No, it just...
No. It says I'm live now. Oh. Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened to the connection. I killed off the Wi-Fi. I think the Wi-Fi died here at the office, so I just threw it on regular Verizon mode. I'm pretty sure it did it pick up where it left off. Anyway, let's continue on addressing today's subject, which is passengers are not free to leave for motor vehicle stops. Anybody who's telling you differently, whether it may be a coworker or maybe just somebody, I don't know, who from another agency that thinks they know what they're talking about. Let's talk about a few distinct cases. One is Brenlin versus California. It's adopted by New Jersey. And it says a traffic stop entails a seizure of a driver, even though the purpose of the stop is limited and the resulting detention is quite brief. The stop also entails a seizure of every passenger in the vehicle along with the driver. Passengers unlawfully leaving a legally stopped motor vehicle will be arrested and charged with obstructing the administration of law under 2C29.1. Now we also have state in the interest of DK. When we hear cases like that, we know that it's a juvenile case and because they're referring to just initials. And it said in DK, the court held that a passenger incidental detention as a result of a valid motor vehicle stop is unchallengeable for if a motor vehicle stop of violation is reasonable. The police not have to show an independent basis for detaining the passengers unless the detention goes beyond what is incident to a brief motor vehicle stop. Okay, that's two cases there. And State versus Sloan 2008, the last one that we're going to talk about. Let's see. Held during a motor vehicle stop, the passenger, like the driver, is seized under the federal and state constitutions. This also addressed accessing the NCIC database without reasonable suspicion to check warrants on passengers as well. But... yeah, so that's three cases for the people in that other Facebook group that are discussing this, especially if you're from New Jersey. Shame on you. I don't know why you would think otherwise. I have no idea, but okay. Like, and that's just it, guys. That's let me emphasize that you have to be super clear and you need to see things in writing when you don't believe shit you see on some bullshit Facebook group. Besides, this one's not a bullshit Facebook group. It's real stuff. Make sure they're citing cases that are pertinent to New Jersey and ones that we refer to if you're from New Jersey. I would imagine that most of this carries through to other states. Good, you can post it in that group. Cool. So for the people who are conjuring up all this vomit and garbage dog shit lies, why don't you just do some research first before you start saying and making broad statements that aren't true. Anyway, let's go to our next portion of today, which is going to be a question I got from, this is a question I get from a lot of people. Hero, yo, Dennis, I took your class at the Monmouth County Police Academy. It's been a game changer thus far. I'm not going to say where, and it's a shit show. I want to ask you a question tonight, but I don't want my post my name because those guys will check the page and ridicule people for trying to learn. Of course they will, which is interesting when I hear people say like, oh, this guy thinks you're an asshole, or like, because I come on Facebook and I try to educate people. Oh, okay. Like, all right. You got it. Anyway, so question one is, when and where in a car can you search a person's documents on a stop when doing interdiction work? Is there a case law? Yeah, you can't. So here's how it works. Basically, I'll give you a few different cases. Let me pull it up right here as we go through it. Let's see, I'm out page here. This is for New Jersey. At the top of my head. Hold on one second. Let's find it. Okay. So searches for evidence identification. This is addressed in State v. Lark. It's 2000. I think it's 2000. It came out in Lark. Either 2002. I don't have the date up here. The court held that absent a probable cause to believe that a criminal activity is afoot or that a motor vehicle contains evidence of a crime or contraband, it is unlawful under the federal and state constitutions for a police officer to search the vehicle for proof of identity when during the course of a motor vehicle stop, the driver cannot produce his license. What's cool is you can ask for a consent search in these circumstances. That's enough reasonable suspicion to ask for a consent search to look for somebody's identification. So what can you search for? We have State versus Boykins, which said you can do a credential search. The problem is if you have an MDT in the car, the only thing you could search for is a registration card. You can't check for insurance. And you can't check for ID. I'm going to tell you my advice to you is don't do credential searches for registration cards. What I would suggest that you do is ask for consent, you know, get further into those things that you know, you learn in class on how to find out what's really going on in the car. And we have all these tools we can use to affect a good quality arrest on the side of the road. So, the other thing I'm going to tell you about is there was another case, I think it's Julian Hamlet, State v. Julian Hamlet, which talked about searching cars for rental agreements. I think they got stopped and the car was a rental car and he couldn't produce the rental agreement. And the police went and searched the car for the rental agreement, and found some CDS, and that was good to go. They knew who the registered owner of the car was, but they didn't know who the car was rented to. They found the rental agreement. And the places you're allowed to look for a rental agreement, you know, dashboard, glove box, visor, things like that. You can't go into the trunk to start looking for a rental agreement. Don't take the cheap, easy way out. Just find a way to ask consent or call for a canine unit to indicate on the car if you think there's a CDS offense in progress. And the last thing he talks about, which I want to address today, I'm going to go back to this. I got to switch my slideshow around a little bit. This is all stuff from my class. It's funny that this class is just, it just has everything. It's just funny, man. Let's see here. Okay, cool. So the last question he has, he goes, if you arrest somebody on a warrant or do a hand summons for loitering to commit a CDS offense, can you search the wingspan in the car? I feel like stuff is driving away from me. So the answer to that is possibly. If you're giving a summons, remember, there's no search incident to summons. That's the first thing you got to know. That's Knowles versus Iowa. It's a U.S. Supreme Court case, which means we have to follow it in New Jersey. And everybody else around the country has to follow that as well. There is no such thing. If you're giving somebody a summons for a CDS offense or a criminal charge, you're going to put it on a summons and give it to them, you know, in your special state form complaint summons book. You don't get to search them. So my advice to you is always this. If you don't have to determine whether you're going to arrest or not, just because you can write the summons doesn't mean you don't have the right to arrest. Maybe search them first and then give them the summons when you don't find anything might be a good way to approach things. As far as searching cars, let's talk about a few things. One, I'm going to bring up State versus Eckel, which came out in 2006. And that really abolished the bright line rule, which years ago, if you had an arrest warrant, there's no PC attached to the car, you could make the arrest on the person and search the interior compartment of the car after the person was arrested. Now, that was thrown out in 2006, and the rest of the country lost that in Arizona v. Gantt 2009. However, this is some of the things that Eckel said, because a lot of guys are like, well, do a wingspan search, do this, do that. Like, you know, here's my advice. No. And here's where the courts say you can do. I'm going to read you something out of Eckel, 2006. A warrantless search of an automobile based on probable cause, but solely on the arrest. A warrantless search of an automobile based not on probable cause, but solely on the arrest of a person unable to endanger the police or destroy evidence cannot be justified under any exception to the warrant requirement. And it's unreasonable. So you just can't do wingspan searches in cars. You're just not allowed to do that when you have an arrest. it says, we do not view Article 1, Paragraph 7 as procedural matter, but as a reaffirmation of the privacy rights guaranteed to our citizens and of our duty as judges to secure them. So viewed, the Belton rationale simply does not pass muster. That is not to suggest that the bright lines are not solutionary? I don't know where it is. Well, they cannot be the sole justification for a warrantless search. Accordingly, once the occupants of a vehicle has been arrested, removed, and secured elsewhere, the considerations informing the search incident to arrest exception are absent, and the exception is inapplicable. In this regard, the court returned to Schimmel and Welsh and declare that the reasoning be the critical path to the application of the search incident to arrest exception under Article 1, Paragraph 7 of our Constitution. That, in turn, answers the open issue in Pierce. Obviously, where a defendant has been arrested but has not been removed and secured, the court will be required to determine on a case-by-case basis whether he or she was in a position to compromise police safety or to carry out the destruction of evidence, thus justifying a resort of search incident to the arrest exception. And here's what Schimmel said. Schimmel stands for the proposition that there are two rationales that the search incident to arrest exception. One, the need to disarm the suspect in order to take him into custody. And two, the need to preserve evidence for later use at trial. If you don't have those things, you're not going to get that. Now, there's other cases. One is Michigan v. Long. The court established the right of an officer to conduct a Terry-style frisk or a pat frisk or protective inspection of the passenger compartment of a vehicle stopped for a traffic violation when the officer had reasonable and articulable suspicion that the motorist is dangerous and may gain immediate control of the weapon. That's Michigan v. Long. And then we had State v. Lund, and that came out in 1990. Here's what State v. Lund said. The Michigan versus Long rule should be followed to protect New Jersey police community, but nervousness and furtive gestures alone exhibited by the occupants of an automobile will not give rise to a reasonable and articulable suspicion that the driver or passenger is presently armed and dangerous. This will justify the removal of a passenger, I think under Brian K. Smith, out of the car. You just need one reason, but this will not justify a wingspan protective search of a motor vehicle. Hopefully that clears things up for everybody. I just don't want, you might hear from old timers that are saying like, "Oh, you're cutting the way you used to do that back in the day." Like, yeah, it's not 1978 anymore. Right. We have to follow the reason we have these videos and we're talking about this case a little, because when you're doing things, you don't want to fuck a good job up. You know what I'm saying? If you build it right, your case will be strong. It'll be locked in. And the more you know, the better your report's going to read. If you guys need anything or have any questions, you can reach out to me anytime. And I usually get to hear, if it's not immediate, within a day or two, I'll get to your question. And the guy who wrote in that question, I appreciate it, man. I had it on my desk. I got sick. I couldn't talk. So I'll see you guys later.